You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome to a live Christmas-ish, Christmas Eve edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Adam is here with me. Adam, what's up?
Oh, not much. Just sitting in your lovely home apartment on the Circle and an undisclosed location in downtown Indianapolis.
Parts unknown is what we'll call it.
It's a great building, though. Really nice building.
It is. We're excited for this Nets game tonight that we will not talk about because we already previewed the Nets last week and the Nets are boring.
Yeah, recording this on a Monday or on a Saturday for Monday or
for
Sunday.
We don't know if this will be on Christmas or Christmas Eve, but whenever you're listening to it, we hope you're enjoying your holidays. Let's get right to it. Should we start with the Detroit preview or some player stuff?
So let's do the previews. I'll knock the previews out of the way and we can do some
Let's
fun
do
stuff.
The previews first.
Because they're pretty easy previews.
And the Pistons, well, the Pistons one especially because they played, what, like 12 days ago?
Yes, sir. You don't have your numbers up, so I'm going to...
No, I do have them up. I don't have their... I want the score of their last game up, but...
They won 104-101 over the Knicks.
No, the Pistons Pacers.
Oh, Pacers was 104-98.
You remember that? That's impressive.
Yeah, I don't know why I remember. They lost by six. I did not watch that game. I was at Star Wars, but I caught most of it.
That's right. You texted me.
I watched most of it, like, a couple days later online. I tried to catch, you know, the best cut-down version they have. So I did get some of it.
They are 14th in offense and 12th in defense and 21st in pace, which might be exactly the same spots where they were last time we did this. They are... The problem is always going to be stopping Drummond on the glass. They just can't do it at all. He had 13, I think, in the last one. That was his lowest of, like, the whole season.
He's really good. I mean, I don't know how to put it. Avery Bradley, hopefully, is going to be back this game. He didn't play last time. That was a big one. We thought that we might swing the game.
No, Avery Bradley is... I think his injury was a week, and they announced it last Tuesday, and they play on a Tuesday. But according to the injury report, he missed the last four games. It is unclear if he'll return Tuesday against the Pacers.
Well, I'll probably a couple days off.
Well, he didn't play last time, and they
thought that would swing it in the Pacers' favor, and it didn't.
Still, yeah.
Well, that game was a funky game, though. That's right.
Reggie Bullock was awesome. He's been really good since he's been starting.
And Turner again had a bad game, right, against them again?
Yeah.
He again got out.
Well, we thought he'd have a good game because Drummond can't pop out in space at all on D, but...
They don't seem to ever be able to take advantage of that when Turner's out there. Somehow Drummond still kills him every time.
He had 24 points, but...
The rebounding, though.
Still. Yeah, the rebounding was bad. Yeah,
minus two on the floor.
Victor led the team in rebounds. That's funny. I mean, a lot of people had eight, but... Yeah, that was it was just weird that they can't beat the Pistons. I think the way the Pistons play really goes against them. They even shut down Tobias Harris, who killed them in that first game, and they still got killed by Kennard and Reggie Bullock, and Eric Moreland shot 67%.
The only time they beat them was because Stevenson had that crazy, and Sabonis came in, and they didn't play Turner. I don't know. Your boy Bojan with a minus 24.
He was off on that game. I tweeted, oh my goodness. That was his worst game of the year by far.
Well, maybe not.
His worst overall game. But he had the biggest negative play against the Celtics, no doubt.
I might not forgive him for a lot for that one. He's gonna take it. He doesn't have to hit a game winner for me to get over that one. Which he might. He could do it.
They don't set him up for like game winning.
No, but it has to be a broken play where he's in the corner, like
Glenn Robinson.
Like, Glenn Robinson last year.
Raptors, right?
No, Hawks.
Hawks.
They showed it on TV on Wednesday where the broken play. That's gonna take for Bunny to get a game winning shot, which he could. You know, he's gonna start double teaming Vic at some point when he gets the ball.
We need to talk about how they're still like a month away from GR3 still, but.
That'll be in our player discussion when we get to that.
It will be. But I don't know. Adjustments-wise, I think some of it's just going to be defending better on the perimeter. Pistons shot 40% from three, and when guys like Reggie Bullock and Luke Kennard or, you know, Langston Galloway and Anthony Tolliver, all four of those guys were 50% or better, so going to have to be better at forcing them off the line.
Yeah, and they have to go to Detroit at summer. Not that it's that far away, but just going to another team's place is never hard to win. They should have won both games at home against Detroit, but they didn't, so...
They should not have won the first home game against
Detroit. Well, no, but in theory. All right, yes. Put it this way. If they don't win this game, they're going to lose this hidden series. It's going to hurt them. Probably maybe a playoff position because Detroit and
they're gonna
Pacers
be close.
Are in at the same spot. Pacers are, what, 18? No, there's... Right? What,
18 and 14?
15, and the Pistons are somewhere around that close, too. You can look it up real quick. The
Pistons are 18 and 14 as well.
So this game is going to have... could have implications in the future playoff spot, especially if they're both in the 4-5, which they are right now. Right now, the... 4-6 is tied.
Yeah.
So, you know, but sneaky, Pacers only 6.5 games back of first place overall. This is going to get a lot. It might get kind of tight. I'm just, you know.
Around like 2 games ahead of 10th, but.
No. They're 3.5 ahead of 10th.
Okay.
Ninth. They're 1 game ahead of 9th.
Yeah.
But the
that's
Knicks,
what it is.
The Knicks are fake. We're going to talk about this later.
The Knicks are fake.
When
so they trade for Kemba Walker.
We'll talk about that later. No, but so this is going to play an implication. That's going to be big. Because I mean, they're going to be going toe-to-toe the rest of the year. Neither team's going to win in the East, but in the Central.
No, it's Cavs. It's over.
Yeah, Cavs won the division. But it could matter. And especially if they're in the 4-5 spot, it could matter for a home game. So.
Yeah.
or matter who's playing in the 4 versus playing, you know, Toronto in the 3 or Boston in the 3 or Cleveland in the 3. Which would be, you'd rather play Detroit and Milwaukee in the first one than you would any of those top 3 teams.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's a winnable series.
Oh, my God. I'd love to play Detroit in the first
round. Although we said that now, and they're down 3-1 in Detroit. We might rather play Cleveland, who they undefeated against this season.
Somehow. No, you don't want to play a playoff LeBron.
Oh, no, you don't. But I'm saying, season series-wise, they might end up 3-4-0 against Cleveland and 1-3 against Detroit. So
Luke Kennard was a plus 18. I don't know how. He shot the lights out of the gym. Bojan did not stop anything, including Reggie Bullock. So, yeah, I think it's a defend the three. Hit the glass. They did okay on defense other than the three ball. So if they can do those two things, I think they have the opportunity to come away with the W, especially if there's no Avery Bradley.
So then who's your X factor for the Pacers?
Man, who stunk in that first game that needs to be better? Bojan obviously needs to be better. But my X factor is probably just going to be Thad again. I pick him every time against the Pistons. And it's driving me crazy that he thinks he can just bully Tobias Harris in the post instead of just taking threes when Tobias leaves him open. So Thaddeus Young, shoot your threes, please, in this game.
Yeah, I would say Bojan's going to be the X factor, especially if Avery Bradley plays, because Oladipo won't get 26 again if Avery Bradley plays. Oladipo's not a bad shooting night. He was only
8 for 22.
It's a bad shooting night, but Bojan's got to score more than 4 points. And if he scored more than 4 points, if he shoots 5 of 11, they win the game. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, yeah. You know, Detroit is probably better than them on paper, but not like that much. Pacers are making a lot of – Pacers have been making a lot of ground on some of these where we thought we – it's where they're at now. They're making a lot of ground in this. Like, they're a decent team.
Who was the ninth guy in that first game? Was it Leaf? It was. And in 3 minutes, he was minus 2.
So they're not going to play. They probably won't play Leaf.
All he'll be back by then, probably. That's in 4 days.
Well, they called him up for tonight's game.
Oh,
on Saturday. That's
good. I missed that.
But I imagine they'll have 3 days off, so they'll probably play an 8-man rotation if they can.
Yeah.
But it is a back-to-back, so that's also an issue.
That's probably why they called him up, though.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It depends. We could see some of Jefferson, to be honest. The Bulls are a slower team. Jefferson fits to play slow.
He could play against Derek Moreland, but what are you feeling for this? Oh, we need Butcher. Sorry, I almost jumped ahead of myself. If Avery Bradley plays, I'd pick Avery Bradley. If not, I'll go Tobias Harris. He stunk, and they still won somehow last time, but, you know, he's still a plus 3. He's still an impactful player just because he can shoot, and he makes the rest of the offense better.
So. All right, so Drummond had 23 points last game.
Yes, he did.
And the second time they played, let's see how many points Drummond had. Drummond had only 11 points, but he had 15 rebounds.
Yep.
And then the first time they played, Drummond had, let's look it up, he had only had 14 points, but he had 21 rebounds. So I would say the Butcher has been Drummond, will continue to be Drummond until Miles Turner. Unless, I mean, the strategy might just be either hack him
and just get it. He's shooting 60% from the line, though.
Yeah, which is, but he's got to, I mean, that's still, I don't know, better than dunking the ball, you know?
Yeah.
Or you got to throw somebody at him just and tell him to shadow him as box him out of
the
game. Like, you might better off, like, there's, you could throw a Stevenson Sabonis at him and they're maybe, you know, double team rebound him out. That's the maybe only way to beat him.
Yeah, they're going to have to box out harder than they have been. That's for sure. His anticipation is so good, too. Like, he knows where it's going to come off the rim and all that. And Miles does not have that yet.
The thing is, I come for the Pacers is they work really hard, so I imagine them practicing on Christmas Day. Maybe catch Detroit off of a Christmas Day, a day off practice.
Yeah.
Something. No, I don't. I imagine Victor Oladipo will be in the gym on Christmas. He always seems like he's in the gym every day. So I imagine maybe they catch that.
I hope they're home when they travel the 26th to Detroit. That'd be nice.
They should be home. Yeah, I might.
Let the guys stay home for the holidays.
Yeah, they'd probably travel that morning. I guess it's what, an hour flight to Detroit?
Barely, if that.
Yeah, so.
All right, score prediction, what you got?
Every game's been in the mid, like the low hundreds.
Yep.
To high 90s, so Pacers win after Christmas, 104-100.
I'll go 95-95 Detroit Pistons.
I would say that was a 95-point Pacer win game would be the lowest wins they had to score.
Oh, definitely.
By far this season.
They just have trouble scoring besides Lance just chucking recently, so, you know, we'll have to see if they're able to do anything.
They dip themselves in these holes.
I know. Constantly. Yeah, the second quarter's been their kryptonite against Detroit both times, if I'm correct. I don't remember exactly how bad it was in the last one, but I thought it was their worst quarter. It was the first quarter that time.
I would just say Victor Oladipo on a couple days rest. His legs are fresh. he's awesome. I mean, he'll hit some threes that we will pull up threes that will just be awesome.
No,
his legs
are fresh. Yeah.
That kind of thing, yeah. But at some point it becomes, okay, keep shooting that. Right.
Bomb it away, baby.
Yeah, just you'll make 3 of 4 of those again. So then the next up is Mavs.
The Mavs.
Who are not very good.
Mavs are not good at all.
You got the numbers up?
I do. 25th in offense, 16th in defense, 27th in pace, largely because they start Dirk Nowitzki, who is the slowest player in the entire NBA. But their injury.
The guy's the oldest player in the NBA, probably too.
Vince Carter's older. Only person.
Yeah, but Vince isn't really. I don't know.
But they're they're both in their 19th season, so NBA years are the same. But big thing for them is injuries so far this year. Seth Curry has not played at all. Stress reaction in his left tibia. Dorian Finney-Smith, one of their young solid wings, has tendonitis in his knee. He's not playing. Devin Harris is ill. He'll probably be back. Josh McRoberts doesn't play because of a knee injury. Nerlens Noel had surgery, so they're missing quite a few guys who are key contributors.
Good thing about they're also playing a back-to-back. They play the 26th versus Toronto, and they'll come to Indiana. So that's not won't be a it's not a scheduled loss for the Pacers because both teams will be tired. So this could be actually just a lower pace game.
This will be odd because Harrison Barnes is the type of guy who will kill Thaddeus. That stretchy, quick, good shooting four.
Yeah.
So he might play the three because with Seth out, they go Dennis Smith, who's back now, Wes Matthews, Harrison Barnes, Dirk at the four, and then I don't know who their center's been. I know Maxi Kleber's been starting some games too for them. So going to be interesting to see who starts and who matches up with who. That's going to make it harder to
predict. You know the best match I'm looking forward to in this game? Yogi.
Yogi's versus back.
Oladipo.
Yogi's
former
back.
Teammates. Remember, they played together their first year. Yes, Yogi's first year. Was that Oladipo's last year?
And Yogi gets to play OG the night before. That's so cool. Yeah,
but Yogi and OG were teammates first. I'm thinking, but Yogi and Oladipo were on that awesome IU team.
The best one.
Should have maybe won a title.
Syracuse.
Jim Bam's 2-3 zone, baby. Taking them down.
The class.
Remember on that team now, they have 3 NBA players in that roster, including one who's probably maybe he's with the top 25 right now in the league.
Yeah.
So,
man.
That'd be a good one. I mean, you'll be coming home, too. That's always.
Yeah.
There'll be some cheers for him, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
Should be an easy Pacer.
I think it's his first game back because they played the Mets early last year.
Yeah, he played last year.
And then he didn't play here for the Nets. So, he might have played here for the Nets. I don't remember. But whatever.
Yeah, I'm excited. Whatever. It's still one of his first 2 or 3 times back.
He plays a lot. He's third on the Mavs in minutes.
10 points a game is not bad. For a guy who people thought wouldn't make it in the league for his height, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that's a fun one to watch. This is probably going to be a blowout game, right? At least the Pacers win by 20.
No, I don't think so. I think, I think the type of players the Mets, I think they'll win.
Stink.
But the type of, they sucked early, but look at their, they've sucked recently too.
They're a mix of this like young team with Dennis Smith and trying to figure out where he is and where Yogi is and who they have for the future. And then a mix of like Dirk, who's just playing out his twilight years now, and you got like Harrison Barnes, who's a decent player but way overpaid, and then you got like Wes Matthews, who's the same situation but probably
Harrison
even more.
Harrison Barnes is not overpaid. Harrison Barnes is good.
Yeah, but he's what he making 25 a year at this point.
22.
I thought it was a 4-year 94.
It was the old max.
So, but it's still almost 25 a year. I would bet, right? I mean, it's
It up,
but Wes Matthews, same situation, probably overpaid.
Yeah, he is.
But he also overpaid because
he's good and he's expiring.
Yeah, but he's still making. I think he's making 21 a year or something.
If we traded for Wes Matthews, I'd be very happy.
Well, that's not, I don't think he's.
Well, that's not right.
Harrison Barnes not making 3-point. Frederick is making probably 25 with this contract estimated by 7.5% bonuses.
23.
All right, so, but whatever, this, funny. And they also have Nerlens, who's not even really playing. He's
hurt now.
Is he hurt again?
Yep.
So
surgery.
But they're just a weird team that is clearly in this mode where they want a top 3 pick.
Yeah, their strategy is clearly going for youth, and they have guys that they can trade away to get more youth. Barnes is 25, Dennis Smith's 20, Yogi's 24, Maxi Kleber's only 26, Nerlens Noel is really young, Dorian Finney-Smith's really young, so they're tanking for sure. They just got to figure out what to do with some of their older guys because it is a weird mix.
Right, they haven't said it, though, but this could be Dirk's last year, right?
He has a
team option next year.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, but if he wants to come back, they'll bring him back.
Yeah, but this could. I mean, he's in the 19th season. That won't go 20. Make it
two
decades.
Man, he's bad, though.
All right, so who is your butcher? Or X-Factor first?
X-Factor first, yeah. Well, Dennis Smith is terrible on defense, so Darren Collison could easily just veteran him up all night long.
Oh, rematch. Revenge game. Darren Collison's playing in Dallas.
That's true. That was only 1 year, wasn't it? Was it 2 years?
They
traded him too there from Indiana.
And then they traded him to LA.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Darren Collison could have a good one. I think he will have a good one because Yogi's not that good of a defender either for other reasons. Darren Collison might be the tallest point guard in this game.
That'd be
Corey Joseph.
Dennis Smith not that tall?
No, he's not that tall. I think he's like 6'1". Yeah, he's probably taller than Darren Collison.
Darren Collison is 6 feet. No way, 6 feet. I mean, maybe he's taller.
He's taller than Yogi, though.
Yeah. Oh, Yogi's 5'9", probably.
Short. JJ Barea is really short. Like, it's going to be funny. But, yeah, I'll take Collison having a big one in this one.
So Collison played one season in Dallas.
That's what I thought.
So, yeah, that could be a good one. Miles Turner. It's the kind of game where
Dirk can't guard him. No way.
There's no center in guard him. And I don't know, maybe you want to maybe turn around and prove something to the old guy that, you know, his game is a little bit modeled off Dirk's in some sense. I mean, that kind of player. Too, we want, you know, if you ask Miles Turner, who do you want to be in 5 years, he'd say, oh, I want Dirk's career, because that kind of outside shooting with the ability to score down low and defend the rim a little better than Dirk ever could.
I want them to spend pregame time together working on that one-legged fadeaway we've seen from
Miles. Yeah, but that's kind of Dirkish. So, I mean, I would imagine he's watched some Dirk's game to mirror for himself, because he's that kind of player. So, may turn out a nice game. You know, it's the kind of game where he has 20-plus points. He's been doing pretty well recently, actually. We'll talk about that later, but he's sort of... He's been iffy, but, you know, he's had a couple 24-point games, which is pretty good.
It's sad his block streak is over.
Yeah, and I never determined that. We'll talk about that, because I think he...
They didn't count one that they should have counted, but he didn't get it.
So then, who is your butcher on the Mavs? You're going to say Harrison Barnes?
Harrison Barnes, for sure. Yeah, good player. If he plays three, Bojan can't stop. If he plays four, he'll be a matchup problem for Thaddeus Young, especially off ball. So definitely picking Harrison Barnes.
I mean, the only one I see is Dennis Smith Jr., just because, I don't know.
He's not impactful. He's talented, and he will be really good.
He missed a bunch of games in the December. But I mean, like, when he played, he's put up 27 in a game. He's put up 21, 22. I mean, that's the most points he's going to score, maybe.
14 points a game is awesome as a rookie, too. He's a good player. Oh. He'll be great someday.
Yeah, no, there's nothing against him right now. He's was one of the youngest players in the draft.
Yeah.
He is extremely raw and will be fine in 2 years when they get a team around him, because they'll get a good draft pick this year and build around him, and he'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm not worried about him in this game, though.
Yeah. No, I am not really, but he could be the one player. What's your score?
108-94 Pacers win by 14.
114-97. It's one of those games where the Pacers are probably up by 30 at one point, and then they just end up being every time they play these bad teams, they keep them enough away, but then at the end of the game, it shrinks just enough to make it like respectable or then look terrible, like 15 or 10 points, which isn't terrible, terrible.
No, that's fine. But, I think this one will be fun. And if they lose to Detroit, perfect bounce back game, right? So hopefully
they'll win both. I think this is a good, they turned Christmas around. They finished the year on maybe a 3 or 4 game win streak.
They got the Bulls coming after them, so.
Right? I mean, I think Detroit's the only really tough game until Minnesota on
New Year's Christmas. Eve.
Yeah. So I think there might be a little bit of a match later on this game with that loss. I think that loss is going to, we're going to talk about it. I think someone that killed them.
We'll see. But let's talk some players. All right. You wanted to talk about a few things with some players.
I have
on the team.
One question. This will delve into most. So I was thinking about it because, like any Pacer fan, I like to compare Victor Oladipo to Paul George. You know, like any Pacer fan out there, we're all doing it. Tony hates us for doing it, but we're all doing it because you just have to, right?
Different players, different teams.
He's the air replacement. Yeah. If I really thought about it, probably Paul George would fit better with this team than Oladipo does. And that's not saying
anything.
But, like, he'd be awesome in this team, too. So it's not, you know, the system is fantastic this season. Like,
it is. It's super
good.
Which
is credit to everybody, the players and the coaching staff. Yeah. But, so one of the biggest gripes of Paul George, right, is can he finish the rim? That was the biggest, or wouldn't even go to the rim. He wouldn't even go to the rim sometimes. But Victor Oladipo has no fear going to the rim. End of games, I don't know how many times we've seen it in the last 5 minutes of games. He did it against Boston where he goes to the rim 4 or 5 times in a row. And he will make 4 or 5 shots in a row. I mean, Denver, he went a perfect 4 for 4 in the last 2 minutes, I'm pretty sure, he missed the winner that then Thad Young put back in, but he was fouled on it, but he didn't get called. But he's awesome. I mean, when this team isolates him on, gets him switched onto a bad defender, then clears everybody out, lets him go to the rim, he scores, you know, a good amount of the time. He's shooting 65.4% inside 3 feet, and he is doing that 27% of his shots coming from inside 3 feet. So I was looking to see what were some of the other Pacers. So shocker, better than Paul George. Paul George last season, now granted the team was not as spaced, but Paul George shot 63%, 62.5% on shots inside 3 feet, but only went to the rim, I think, 13% of the time. In Paul George's best season, he went to 24% of the time and shot 63%. So, and that was actually a much more clustered pitch team than 2012 and 2013. And then going back, you know, Hibbert probably had a better one because Hibbert centers have better inside 3 feet percentage than anybody in the league. Granger never had good as Oladipo, and then Jermaine never had better than Oladipo. So, throwing out there, Oladipo best right now. Defensive way he's finishing right now, best rim scorer in Pacers history at the rim guard.
Yeah, through 30 games, he's been awesome at the rim, and they've done a good job. You saw in the Thunder 32. Game. 32, sorry.
No, I'm just trying to be a dick.
Well, I remember in the Thunder game especially, he was really struggling, and then all of a sudden Nate was like, all right, let's go with Carmelo instead, and he got 3 layups in a row. So they've done a great job of getting him situations where he can get to the rim and score with, you know, all the space they have. Like, their worst 3-point shooter that they play is Lance, so They always have tons of space.
And even recently, the way he's been shooting, you can put him on, like, corner and teams will try to defend him.
I mean, Domas might be worse, but he's never outside, so it doesn't... I don't really count that.
Yeah, Domas is... they got to use the switch.
Yeah.
Because people put Free on Domas, people put...
The slowest guy is always on Domas, which is why he works out for Victor.
And he's one of the, he's probably the one of the best pick setters in the Pacers, if not the best.
Oh, far and away the best.
Well, Thad Young is not bad at it if you watch
him. That's pretty good.
Turner
is not a good screen setter.
Yeah, but he's really good at popping.
He is. I wish he would put his arms like... It's hard to show you what I'm saying.
His upper body's
Adam
big.
Adam can see me. I wish he'd put his arms like wider than his body so he'd be bigger.
His upper body's big, Turner. Like, it's gotten a lot bigger than it was before. He looks like a lot...
He should be a good screener, and he's not.
Yeah. So, he's been... I don't know.
Anyway, Vic's been just blowing by guys, gets the rim, no trouble finishing. Collison's right on his tail.
Carlson also been incredible going to the rim. So yes, it might just be spacing. I mean, you said it before the show. You know, the spacing on this team is awesome.
Unbelievable.
Which, yeah. I guess we could have seen some of this coming, but we couldn't see this coming.
Not a chance I saw this coming. Like, Corey Joseph shooting, like, what, some absurd percent on spot ups. Grant tweeted that out today. You know, like, stuff like that just doesn't happen without the perfect space for guys to get the shots that they need.
Yeah, I mean, he's Oladipo, who's, right, of... In the top five of the Pacers, it basically is Sabonis is one because he's a center and shoots every time inside the rim. But, I mean, it's rare that guards are that high up on this team. But, Bogdanović's been pretty good inside the lane, too. They all have been good.
Bojan's been getting... I can't believe he finishes so well at the rim. He shot more at the rim percentage of his shots than Collison and Oladipo. That's
so we're talking about Bojan because he had probably the worst start to a week. You watched his interview after.
He didn't even play that bad in that game. He just had a horrible play.
Did you see what he said after the
48 hours of no sleep.
I mean,
poor guy.
No, I mean, that's the kind of loss that just like, you should keep thinking it over and over. I held him the ball. Held him the ball over and over again.
Man, and then Corey has no... Corey's so lucky that Bojan did it because he should have held the ball too.
Well, also, Corey almost threw it away to Bojan. But actually, that would have been better because at least it wouldn't have been a breakaway.
Yeah.
Literally, Bojan could have thrown at the rim and it would have been better off of what happened. Because
even if
Boston gets a steal there...
They're still down one.
And they have to go score.
They have to score.
Just don't even open up. Bojan should have run as fast as he could and tackled Rozier and made him make it the line. Rozier couldn't make free throws. He missed two free throws like 2 minutes before that. Make Rozier go to the line and win.
Bojan bounced back with a great game.
And he's been awesome. You remember about him defensively, though. So we can talk about that play all we want. Let's move on from it.
I tried to make that my lead in that. It's like, you can be mad at him right now, but he's done a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, so we both wrote things about Bojan this week. I read yours before I read mine because yours was good.
I read yours.
So defensively, he's not necessarily better at defense this season, but he's been better offensively. That's his defense better, right? He's more playable. Like, say, with Anderson a little bit, Anderson is so good offensively that you can play him even when his defense is mediocre.
Yeah. He can only stay with, like, this is kind of how I wrote about it, is he's still been bad, but he's improved, and his footwork's good enough to stay in front of slow guys like DeRozan, and, you know, there's not a lot of slow wings.
So,
like, Solomon Hill, if he was matched up with those guys, he can do that pretty well, but he's horrible off-ball, like, unbelievably bad off-ball, so... You know, you got to hope he's matched up with the right guy so he can do his thing on offense, which is just bombing away.
So, I actually have one question for you, because you were talking about how you can't... You're still not a guy you can play in crunch time in a playoff game, right?
Absolutely not.
So, but how many... So, if the teams are going to face, let's put it this way.
Yep.
Who is going to just kill him? So...
Anyone fast who plays wing.
So...
Literally anyone fast.
Okay, talking about this. So, on the Celtics, it's going to be Brown, right?
Tatum or Brown. Or Hayward.
Well, Hayward's not going to play. I mean, we can talk about Hayward. He's not going
to
play.
He might be back this year, according to him. But
it's going to be a Paul George back thing. It'll take a while. I mean, he'll be fine next year, I think, but it'll take a while. So, it'll be Brown or Tatum.
Yeah. They'll kill him.
Right? They'll kill him. So, we expect that. Celtics are...
Bucks. Let's just go through the best teams in the East. Bucks, Giannis, and Middleton would kill him.
Wait, are they going to make him guard Giannis?
Then Middleton or Jabari or...
But so...
He'll have to guard one of those three.
Yeah, but Jabari's not that fast.
No, he's way more athletic than him. He's pretty
quick. Jabari's not like... And Jabari's two knee surgeries in.
That's true, yeah.
It's going to be that
I haven't
fast.
Seen him yet this time.
No, but the biggest thing for Bojan going for him is that he has Miles Turner, if they play him in crunch time, there to back him up, right? So the same way Anderson does, where you could just run... It's the same way Pollard just to benefit from Roy Hibbert, where you can play closer up on a guy because if you get beat, you've got the center there to protect your ass.
Yeah, I wrote about Miles Turner's defense, too. It's been so good this year.
I mean, when you have a room to like that, it helps everybody because it's like, oh, if we make a mistake, the center will back us up.
And his steals have been good, too. Like, he knows where to be, I feel like, better than he... I watched him a lot on the Wizards last year, and he knows where to be a little better, but he just falls asleep off ball so much.
So if he can't play crunch time, is Glenn Robinson the answer? Because he can guard guys like that?
Hopefully, because the fear is... Well, it's not a fear. It's probably a reality. It's like, Glenn can space, but he doesn't really help the offense as much as Boone because he can't dribble at all. Yeah, he can
He's a spot-up shooter.
So he helps the defense a ton. It's just how much is he going to slow it down? Because Bun doesn't close games now. So
do we see the type of thing that they've been doing with Collison, where they play him like with the bench unit starts the fourth quarter? Sometimes they take him out in the last 6 minutes and let Stevenson play a better
player. Well, I give Nate credit for doing a good job of picking lineups like based on the situation. You know, okay, up five, we're going Lance and Corey with Vic, and we're down five, we're going Darren and whoever. You know, he does go situation in the clutch, so... You know, Bojan's a down eight with 2 minutes to go kind of guy at this point.
So, because Grobson adds enough spacing that you can play him in the
crunch. He has a lot of spacing, yeah.
Right? So, theoretically, if in the last 2 or 3 minutes of a game, if they're up two, down two, whatever, they can bring in McVic the point guard, bring in Stevenson, Robinson, Sabonis Turner, whatever they want to pick, whatever they feel in the young, and they can get enough spacing to let Vic just score at the end of games and play good enough defense to stop teams.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're not going to stop Giannis, let's be honest. Nobody's going to stop Giannis. LeBron's the only guy who can stop Giannis, and I don't know if he can.
No, he can't.
So that's like that's unfair to say Barton can't stop Giannis, because it's nobody stopping. I mean, I would like to see Giannis go to the rim and see if Turner could block him, because I think Turner could actually maybe do it once. And
then get dunked on the rest of the
game. No, but it's the same way Raybert could do it to LeBron a couple times, that type of stuff. But, no, I would imagine it doesn't matter. You know, there's certain guys that they just, you couldn't. You know what I mean? You can't stop LeBron at the rim at the end of games. There's certain guys, you have to force guys to shoot worse shots, and that's kind of how you win games, right? Or you have to beat them on your end.
Yeah, and he did it with DeRozan, but that's, like I said, because he had the speed to do it against most guys, he won't.
So then, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited would you be for Robinson to come back? Do you think he's going to be good enough for the next entry? Might take a little while, right?
He's certainly a positive player, so it's always nice to have more of those. So I'd say like 7, but I am worried about how he'll be with the offense, just because every wing they have can dribble a bit, and he can just not
dribble that much. Bun is not like
he gets the rim so well on the dribble this year.
No, but a lot of it is like he cuts the ball, takes two dribbles, and banks off the glass. Which is not saying that Robinson can't do that, but it's not like Bojan, you don't say here's the ball, go to the rim. No, it's a lot of creating him to the rim.
We'll see how it goes. I just think that he'll be less offensive impact than we are thinking, but he'll be so helpful on defense that you know.
A ninth man really bad.
Like you just said, the Vic, Lance, Glenn is like an unbelievably good wing defensive lineup.
So. Which is the kind of lineup where you're up 5 2 minutes.
Or Corey, still Lance, yeah.
But 4 minutes up, you're up five. You put those guys in and you say, we'll score enough to keep leading, we'll stop them every time.
Vic's in, you have your scoring, so just throw defenders in at that point. Yeah, I agree, and we're still like a month away, which is sad, because I thought it was going to be around now. So it's tough to hear
They're fine right now, and... They'll ease him back in, get him conditioning shape, because he's not going to be in conditioning shape from the start, because it's going to hurt his ankle. But
you can tell they're desperate for minutes to scrape every rest they can get. You know, against the Hawks, Joe Young played 12 minutes, Poitras and Wilkins played at the end. Yeah. It was weird.
Sure, I'll buy some lineups now. That's the last thing we had on our list.
I know. Well, we'll have to talk. Lineups have been weird, you know, the fourth quarter especially. Like, I can kind of tell you their rotation in the first three quarters, basically. The first quarter's the starters, and then... The first sub's always Corey, and then not soon after, or not long after, Lance and Domas come in at the same time. And then the second quarter, they sprinkle in that Vic's the first sub back, or first sub out for whoever Corey came in for, and then Vic comes in with about 5 minutes to go, and the rest is normal. But the fourth, I just have no idea who's going to start the fourth.
Sometimes they play Vic all 12 minutes. They play Turner all 12 minutes. Sometimes they play Turner the first six.
Sometimes they don't play Turner at all.
Yeah, that.
It's only happened twice, but...
Yeah, there was one time Turner didn't play last minutes, but he had an ice pack on his back the entire game, so that made sense. And they've done a good job of playing the guys who they think they matches up well. They don't worry about this guy's ego, that guy's ego. It's like if Sabonis fits better with whatever's going on there, matches up better on the guys out there, let's play Sabonis in the last 6 minutes. If Turner's better because they have a lot of guards to go to the rim, they'll play Turner. You know what I mean? It just depends. Like Detroit, you'll probably see Sabonis in the last 6 minutes, my guess is.
That's how we have been so far. We've seen... Sabonis closed that game. They came back in too.
And Stevenson is just like, if he's hot, you play him. If you're not, just sit him on the bench for the rest of the game.
It's him and Corey, and is that decision. So yeah, it'll be cool to see how Nate handles that going forward, and with Glenn especially adding another weapon, more versatility
than anybody they have. Yeah. T.J. Leaf's been probably the most consistent ninth man they've played, and he's not good enough.
But that's the thing, because Vic can play wing and point guard, and Thad can technically play center. You just plug in those two, and then whatever three guys around them makes sense, just to go for it, because it'll fit it somehow. So
yeah, I mean, we talked about this even before the season, how if Oladipo could play point guard, it would change his game. Like, if he could be kind of the hard, we don't play it all the time, but if he could be a distributor, because he'd be such a threat going to the rim, which he's been such a threat shooting from three.
1% of his minutes have been a point guard this year.
That's it, really? That seems, so how do they
defend? They probably put Lance, or I wonder who they call the point guard in those lineups.
There'll be plays in the last 5 minutes where
he takes it up a lot.
Yeah, but where it'll be like Kyle gets the ball and then Kyle tosses it to him
and Corey doesn't even take it up the court. But no. I'd consider Corey. I think they go with who you guard. He never guards point guard.
He guards a shooting guard or something. So the next step for Oladipo is, when can he start guarding like a little bit bigger than him, small forwards who are a little bit better? Like, he's not able to guard LeBron, or he's not doesn't have the size. But, you know, can he get, that's kind of the next step from, can he guard like a Klay Thompson consistently? Like, that's, they'll play him a lot. But, I mean, Bradley Beal, for example, those kind of guys. Could he guard Kyrie? That would be, if he could guard Kyrie and stop him, that'd be game changing.
Well, and the Pacers switch like size so much that if he could guard bigger guys because they would switch him with everyone who's not a point guard, that'd be great.
So this is a question, I don't know if we hit on our Tuesday podcast or not. How big is the gap between, right, if you just see between Kyrie and Oladipo now? At first it was the size of the Grand Canyon, and now it's
all the clutch, because truly, like, over the course of the whole game, Vic's impact on the Pacers is pretty close to Kyrie's and the Celtics, but Kyrie's clutch stats are just bonkers. Like,
what are Vic's clutch stats? I
mean, his true shooting percentage is like 68%. Ooh. Like, he just doesn't miss, and his net rating's like 7 or 8, and he's just so good in the clutch, and that's his big calling card for being so important this year. And Vic's been great in the clutch, too. It's just that Kyrie's been, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, so. I mean, they have 23 wins.
Yeah, helps. Yeah. That's the difference to me. They've both been pretty similar throughout the first
quarters of action. So the odds are the Celtics come back down to earth just a little bit.
They already are right now.
Yeah, but they can come back more down to earth. They have a tough. They play like they go to London at some point, and that's like a huge issue. And all these, their schedule is going to be kind of brutal. So it says the Pacers end up like 3 or 4 games away from the Cavs at the end of the season, which is not out of range. Cavs win 50 or Celtics win 50 games. Pacers win 45. That's a possibility. Yeah. I mean, I just don't know how big the gap is in we think. You know, Kyrie gets all this credit because he left LeBron and having, but like, arguably he has a better team around him, right? I mean, he's got some a lot better players around him. I mean, he's got Al Horford, who is, I mean, going to be an all-star.
And Tatum's just been making every three-pointer he takes.
So I just think at some point, if the season, like, if the stats continue the way they're continuing right now, all he would finish with more points than Kyrie.
Yep.
Around the same assists.
They're very close in points now, though.
And they're very close. I think Kyrie's more assists, but not by that much.
Not by much.
If they finish that way and Oladipo has better shooting percentage, at one point you say, oh, maybe Oladipo has
had a better year than him,
It's
close.
Because, I mean, you know, the first Celtics fans get heard the loudest in the NBA. I mean, they're one of the famous where you hear about them. It's just what they're loud, they're nuts, they're annoying, whatever. Hey, I don't like Boston Celtics fans. Sorry to tell you that, Celtics fans. You can hate me for anyone if you haven't listened to this podcast. So Kyrie has like 15 good games, and all of a sudden he's like the next coming of Paul Pierce and Ray Allen and KG all in one in a point guard form. That's what they would say. But like Oladipo replaced for a fan base who is loud when they try to be, but just doesn't have a big national presence. The Pacers is starting to get some credit, but at what point do you say this guy might be the best guard in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, he's pushing it right now.
I mean, Kyrie, Wall, Beal, like the three, and Lowry, the four best, and DeRozan, those are like the five best guards, and I would say he's pushing to their level.
He's right there. He's definitely. I would put him above DeRozan for sure and Wall for sure because of his time. DeRozan
a 45-point game, though. No, but I would agree.
DeRozan had his best offensive game of his life the other night.
He hit threes for once in his life.
Six threes. Great. Yeah, anyway. I'm glad that wasn't against us. I'd have been so frustrated. But
he would be so happy that on Lance's face. But that's the point.
Lowry's been amazing since his bad start, but his bad start kind of keeps him below Kyrie and Oladipo. But, yeah, he's right there. You know?
I mean, every game Oladipo seems to be better, right? I mean, I don't know how you think. Like, he just seems good. I mean, this month he's been incredible. So maybe it's just December.
Here's why Kyrie is better, because his ads show up on B-ball right when you're just scrolling around.
Because he has a shoe. Maybe get an ad blocker instead.
I know. just popped up.
That's just like, you know, because these Celtics fans are all like, you traded away what's going to probably be a top 5 pick at the end of the day, because the Nets are going to fall off at some point because everybody's hurt. And for Kyrie, who is a really, really, probably definitely do that 9 out of 10 times, but like, I don't know if Kyrie he's not Harden, or he's not that level of punkers. He's not even Chris Paul level, I think, yet.
No.
He's just not that kind. He's awesome, but he's not that. And, you know, Pacers, at some point,
Kyrie just has that skill that, like, maybe five guys in the league have.
Oh, it's like, handles are...
Handles, but I was going to say, like, you're tied with 10 seconds left. Like, Kyrie, get me a bucket. Like,
yeah, but Oladipo's becoming that. Some, right?
Oh, well, he's not Kyrie good at that.
No, but he's becoming...
No one is. Kyrie might be the best player.
Oladipo's become the guy, you're down 10 with 6 minutes left, you put the ball in his hand every possession, he scores enough to get you back
in the
game.
I guess what I mean by that is less like Oladipo doesn't ISO guys up and,
no,
and beat him. He said he does it off of screens, but Kyrie's... you know, he could do anything off any situation and get to the rim and score. It's just nasty.
He's also, Oladipo does it less fancy. So yeah. Oladipo gets to the rim and incredibly well and will make shots over his head, layups, left hand, right hand, doesn't matter. But he won't do it with some like...
Pizzazz.
He did the Kevin Love, though. He did have
the
cross. Yeah. But, you know, Kyrie's handles are like...
Unbelievable.
Right, him and Steph Curry are the best team in the league at that. No type of handles, so...
Yeah,
just a thought. I just.
No, they're very close. It's
been
stewing
in my mind.
Yeah, it's worth talking about.
Yeah, so Oladipo should be a starter for sure in the All-Star game.
Yep.
Make sure to vote for him.
Won't be, but he should be.
I don't know.
Voting starts on Twitter on Christmas Day.
He might get voted in.
Regular voting starts already, so go vote. The Pacers have it on their website and their app, so there's no reason not to.
He might get voted in.
Try to sneak Miles in there. Definitely get Oladipo where he belongs to be.
I think he might get voted in.
As a starter, I don't know. I think he should be. I obviously think he should be.
Kyrie's gonna get started because Boston fans are obnoxious. Yes. So let's be determined that you're not gonna agree with me on obnoxious.
I just think DeRozan's gonna get all this ridiculous fan vote because he's so popular. And
is he really that popular?
Yeah,
I never realized. I mean, I always thought he was good. I mean,
he's underrated because people are like obsessed with efficiency now, but.
Yeah. No, but I didn't realize he was that popular. I figured Oladipo with the underdog story could get in.
It's very close.
The national media started to come around to him. We saw him on the starters. That was a big deal.
That was cool.
He needs to get a little PR help on this. But he's just like, I think he hasn't really been in that spotlight in 4 or 5 years now. I mean, he's probably that spotlight last year at IU because he was like...
He was like National Player of the Year candidate.
Yeah, but he hasn't been in that kind of spotlight in a while. And Turner seems more comfortable because he just is kind of, I don't know.
Turner's stoked because he doesn't have to be as good as everyone thought he needed to
be. But Turner's turning out pretty well. I'm not too worried.
His defense is so good.
Yeah, and he often just gets slightly better and get more shots, and he'll become a 20-point-a-game guy. And
it's what we need.
And those are the two guys. That might be throwing some other amazing move by Pritchard, and this team could be the best team in the East in 5 years.
Hey, given the way he trades, we could trade Victor Oladipo for, like, Steph Curry now.
We can talk about how I'm going to get Cousins later in another podcast, but that'll be another discussion.
No, I don't want a center. I want a really good wing.
There are not many out there, so.
I know. They're impossible to get.
But, if
Robert Covington was on the Pacers, they'd be, like, the third best team in the East.
Davis might be available at some point. They could figure out make a move for him.
You got to trade Oladipo to get Anthony Davis.
No, you trade to Turner.
This is never a podcast people do.
No, we'll stop now. We'll stop now. But
I got nothing else.
I think I'm
You're good. Going to the game, so.
Yeah, going to the game in...
45 minutes.
All right.
Play the Nets with no point guard. It'll be fun, but guys...
Let's score prediction real quick.
Oh, yeah. Did we ever do that for the Nets?
No, we didn't do the Nets today. We were skipping them
because
the Nets stink.
I mean, like, in the past. The Nets are boring to watch.
You'll hear this podcast after the game, so it won't really matter. But
yeah, you can see how terrible these predictions are. Spencer Dinwiddie is just he's been really good compared to what I thought he'd be, but he's just not a good starting point guard. Pacers win by 15. I don't know what the score.
Dinwiddie has great hair.
He does. It's cool. He's so active on Twitter, he responds to like everyone. But
got great hair. Just put it in, you have great hair. This is the podcast. You have great hair.
Great hair. I know Vic listens. That's our fan theory still. 113-98 Pacers.
That's a low score, and I'm thinking 120-97.
I'm far away from the mic getting pretzels.
Yeah, you're too far away.
The game in Brooklyn was pretty low scoring, right? It was like 108-99 or something?
Yeah, I was going to say 105-97, but I think you might be closer to it.
I remember that one.
Yeah, not as high scoring as the first time when they scored
140. Unbelievable.
I want that type of game because I'm going to it. I want to see it. I want to see.
I was at that first one. It was crazy.
Because if they go 140, Oladipo's going to score 50.
Oh, yeah. I wonder. I don't remember what he had that first time.
He had like 23.
They played everybody. Too. Like Wilkins was playing. And
yeah. The first game of the season, nobody knew what was going to happen.
I know. That game was hilarious.
All right, I think we got everything.
I don't have anything else.
All right, I'm good. When are we back on?
We'll be back next Wednesday. No. Next Wednesday to recap some Detroit stuff. Maybe we'll have a Mavs guy on, maybe not. So to be determined. It's hard around the holidays. And then we'll have a Bulls stuff and Timberwolves stuff and whatever comes our way. Right. You know what the follows are at this point. It's Friedman Adam 5, T East NBA, Locked On Pacers. Hit them all up. As always, we'll be back after
also,
the holidays.
Also, check out our website. Tony's been posting stuff on it. They're pretty good for it.
LockedOnPacers.com. We got all of them posted up and there. We got
congratulate Tony on his new 8.9 seconds job.
Yeah, man.
We mentioned the podcast yet.
Gotta go to 8.9 seconds and read everything. A great team there. Great guys who are Love the Pacers.
Yeah, when Miller Time drop, it will become the official podcast someday.
Miller Time, you can never go away. We love you.
No, we do love you.
Everyone, thanks for listening. Have a great and safe Christmas. We'll be back soon.